probably the best sermon as far as the sermon that really was considered, it's considered at this top of all the sermons that Jesus gave, all the lessons that he taught. But this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, is considered the greatest sermon that Jesus ever gave. And so the Beatitudes were the intro to the Sermon on the Mount. He gave a good intro telling you what the sermon is going to be at, what I'm trying to tell you. And let's look at this right here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We'll see at the intro. Jesus kind of gives us the intro of the Sermon on the Mount. We can go to Matthew chapter 5. You got that, guys? Getting a little trouble with the computer this morning. He's hanging up. That's what happens when you get a brand new computer. You got that coming? Buddy, go on. Okay, I'll just read for you. You got your Bibles. How many got your Bibles with you? All right. It's a good thing. We're going to get used to having it up on overhead, but it's there anyway, so let's go right to it. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, and for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted." When people revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of things evil against you, "rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now this teaching that Jesus gave right here, this is a radical teaching. Now today when we hear these words, they kind of stir us a little bit, but because we've heard them before, they don't have the impact. I want you to put yourself back 2,000 years ago when Jesus is sharing these words to society. They're expecting the kingdom of heaven to come, and to come in this glorious fashion. You know, Jesus, the Savior, is going to come back to the earth. When he comes back to the earth, he's going to set up his kingdom upon the earth. They're expecting him to rule, to be a king present on the earth, and have an actual physical kingdom. They have no idea of the spiritual kingdom that was to come before we actually get to the heavenly kingdom. And so they're expecting that spiritual kingdom to become a physical kingdom. And so when Jesus came as the Messiah, and he says, "Hey, blessed." Now, the word blessed here, the Greek translation comes out to mean happy. So what he's saying is, happy are those who are persecuted. Happy are those who are mourning. Happy to those who are poor in spirit. He's saying things here that are totally contradictory to what we would think about in society even today, more or less back then. He's saying, you want to be happy? It's okay. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying this, that happiness was not a outward thing, but it was an internal state of mind. It was an internal attitude that you have. He was talking about happiness being a place where you arrive to, not a kingdom. And so when Jesus said this, let me think about these words that he said, that man, those who mourn, they're happy. Those who are poor in spirit, they're happy. Those who are being talked about, they're happy. Those who people are stabbing them in the back, they're happy. I mean, if we didn't know this was Jesus and somebody just came to us and started speaking this, let's be honest, we would think this person's cuckoo, man. This person does not know anything. We'd be like, this person's a false prophet right here. This is just another nut that fell off the acorn tree. You know, we'd be thinking this right now. But Jesus was so radical, and I love this about our Savior, because he was so radical in his teaching that he was not afraid to just speak it out to get our attention. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get our attention to really take our thinking cap off about the kingdom of heaven. And he was trying to show us a different attitude about the kingdom of heaven, that the happiness has come. This word in verse 12 says, be exceedingly glad. I have it underlined. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. When? It says, when they revile and they persecute you and they say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That word, that whole phrase, be exceedingly glad, translate in the original meaning to be jump and rejoice. To jump for joy is what it means, to jump for joy. So this is what Jesus is telling them. When people come to you and talk bad about you because you're serving the Lord, when people come to you and talk bad about you because you're giving your life over to Christianity, Jesus said, jump for joy. Jump for joy. When people talk bad about you and certain things about you that aren't true, he says, jump for joy. I mean, talk about radical thinking. You talk about changing our mindset. Because when we first hear that, our first attitude is we got to defend ourselves, and we got to go out and fight these rumors, and we got to defend our integrity, and we got to go out and do this and do that. We got to go confront these people. Who said that? Who made that post about me on Facebook? I'm going to track it down. You're going to get it. I'm telling you, you're going to get it. We're not watch your back. I'll hit a piece of ice and accidentally hit you with my car. I'm telling you. That's our attitude right away. It was attitude of revenge and self-defense. But Jesus says in the kingdom of heaven, he says that you want to be happy? You learn to rejoice when those people talk bad about you. I mean, that's a pretty heavy concept, isn't it? I can tell you, I've lived in my life, I've been in ministry long enough, I've had people talk bad about me. I've been long enough to know when people misunderstand you and they don't understand your intentions or they don't understand what's going on. And they're quick to judge and they're quick to condemn and they're quick to do things. And Jesus said, when these things happen to you, you learn to leap for joy. I tell you, it's hard to do that when people talk about you, isn't it? Because my feelings are my feelings. And I don't like it when you hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings and I just might cry in the closet. You never know what would happen. No, I would never cry. But anyway, still, I'm blind playing. We all have feelings, don't we? We all have feelings. None of us like to have them hurt. But Jesus said, when you get your feelings hurt, be happy. This word blessed in the Greek is where we talk about the word for happiness. So when he says blessed are those, we can say happy are those. Happy are those people. Jesus said happy are those who hear my commands and do them. The Beatitudes are about a recipe for living a happy life according to what Jesus taught. The world's first thought about God is what? What would you say the world's view, those who are not Christians, the world's first view of God, our Savior, what do they think about God? What would you tell you to think about God? Would they say our God's a happy God? I think the world really sees him and stereotypes him as a God who's angry, isn't he? Because why? Because a lot of times this church is angry. You know, we're angry about everything. We walk around angry about everything. And, you know, and really, when we search out Scripture, this is so opposite of what our Savior really is and what our God really is. Our God is a happy God. We serve a happy God. Scripture's full. It says that he rejoices over his children, that he rejoices over us. Now, is there times you get frustrated with your children? When you're cooped up in the house for 5 days straight? They can't go outside and play, and you know what I'm talking about. They're tracking snow through your whole house. They're eating you out of house and home. Not picking up after himself. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get aggravated with the children, but how many know it just takes your kid to come up to you and sit in your lap and just bat their eyes at you or say something and smile at you, your heart just melts and you rejoice over your children. How much more does our Savior, how much more does our God rejoice over us? He's a God who's not mad at us. We need to get that through our thinking and our spirit. Our God is not mad at us. He's a God who's happy and who wants to rejoice over us and does rejoice over us. He rejoices in the praises of his people. He inhabits. He abides. He's there. He loves us so much. He's not a God who's mad at us. Let me give you this example here. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And the last chapter of Malachi is chapter 4. So this is the last book, the last chapter. The last verse of the last chapter of the last book. It's verse 6. And what is the last word of the last chapter of the last book in the Old Testament? Curse. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I think that really kind of sums up the Old Testament, doesn't it? It really kind of sums up the Old Testament, we think about it, that really that there was a cursing and there was a blessing that came along with it. That Jesus promised, God promised a lot of blessing to come along, but also was a cursing came to those who didn't fulfill the law. And the problem is this, that none of us could fulfill the law. As much as we tried, as much as we tried to be religious, as much as they tried to be religious in their ceremonies and tried to keep everything, you know, according to the right ceremony and dress a certain way and eat a certain thing and do a certain way. It was just beyond comprehension. We could study for days upon days and put weeks and even years, all the things they were required to do to fulfill the law and to receive the full blessing. It was just impossible. And so what happened was they were living under a curse. I think this really describes it. So think about this. The last word in the Old Testament, according to the way the Holy Spirit laid out the scriptures, is the word curse. Now let's open up to the first book of the Bible, of the New Testament. Not the Bible, but the first book of the New Testament is Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Now this is also the first sermon that we see here that Jesus is preaching. Now whether it's not the first sermon, it actually happened in real life, we don't know that for sure. But we know this is the Holy Spirit gave those who were putting these books in order. This is the way the Holy Spirit directed those guys to put these things in order. And so the first sermon we hear from Jesus, and the first thing he says is the first part of the sermon. This is what he says. This is talking about Jesus. And Jesus said what? Blessed. Now, I read this the other day and was thinking about this and really began to, the Lord began to speak to me on this in a way I'd never seen it before. Think about it. The last word of the Old Testament is curse. And the first thing, the first word of Jesus' first sermon that's listed in the Bible is what? Blessed. What was Jesus saying? In case you want to read between the lines, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to be. There's a new sheriff in town, and he's bringing a happy spirit to this place. You've been living under a curse way too long. You've been trying to be religious way too long. I'm going to bring freedom to you. I'm going to bring happiness to you. I'm going to bring blessing to you. And if you don't realize that today, we're not living under a curse. We're living under a blessing. And we're called to walk a happy life. That God has set us free, as we were talking about. We're sons and daughters of the King. Nothing can stop what the Father has broken. Nothing can stop what the Father is doing in your life, has done in my life. Nothing can stop what Jesus did upon the cross. And there's a new covenant being established. It's a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of happiness. That we don't have to walk around depressed. As a Christian, we should not walk around depressed. We should not walk around in the mully grubs. Now, there's things that happen that get us down. There's times of mourning in our life. But even when you're in mourning, he says, blessed are those who are in mourning. Blessed are those who are going through tough seasons. Blessed are the peacemakers. We just read it. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you realize that in order to be a peacemaker, you got to be going through some war? You can't make peace unless there's war first. I mean, he's saying, even though this is a radical thinking of our Savior, this is what he's telling us. The kingdom of heaven is about a happy spirit. It's about a happy thing that I want to bring a blessing, a spirit of happiness for you to live. Too long we've allowed Satan to keep that spirit of a curse over our life. We walk around and we never are happy about anything. I mean, I tell you, it's a bad place to be in. We've been there. I know some of you have walked through seasons of really deep depression, and you know what I'm talking about. That it's a tough place to be when you walk around that way. But God has never designed, he has never intended for you to walk around in the spirit of depression or walking around in the spirit of the mully grubs. But man, he wants you to walk around in the spirit of happiness, realizing that the kingdom of heaven is alive in your heart. And today, maybe you never heard this before. Let me say it to you today. You serve a happy God. Your God is happy over you. He rejoices over you. And he's given us the recipe and the Beatitudes, and we're going to be studying those over the next weeks to come on the things that bring happiness in our life. This is what's going to usher in a spirit of happiness into your life, into your marriage, into your family, into your children, into your job, into your finances. He's going to show us ways that bring happiness. Very clear. The new covenant has been established. The Old Testament promised blessing, but only if you lived up to the law, to a T, and none of us could do that. No one back then could do it as well. But Jesus said this, I've come to establish a new covenant. You can't fulfill the law, but I can. And those who believe in me, they'll walk in blessing. They'll walk in the happiness. I'm going to lift the curse over their life. Right now, I just want you to realize, can you just in your own way thank the Lord that he is lifting the curse in your life and you can walk in the blessing? Come on, just thank him in your own personal way. Father, we thank you right now. God, you are lifting the curse out of our life. And God, you are God who's speaking a new covenant over us. Lord, you're speaking blessing. You're speaking happiness into our life, happiness into our marriage, happiness into our children, happiness into our job, happiness into our health, happiness, God, into our life. Lord, that we can know that, God, you are God who rejoices over us and is happy. So let's answer this question. Where does happiness come from? Where does happiness come from? First of all, if we're going to answer that question, we can say what happiness does not. And happiness does not come from the world. Isn't that true? I mean, really think about it. It's very true. We all know this to be true. That happiness does not come from the world. Because what does the world say happiness is? What does the world say you will get happiness when what? Just tell me out. What does the world say happiness is when what? When you make a lot of money. Money, money, money. I heard someone say that right there. Happiness is when you get the raise. Happiness is when you get lots of money. Happiness is when you get the job. Happiness is when you get the degree. Happiness, then you'll be happy. Happiness is when you get a spouse. And then happiness is when you get a new house. I mean, isn't it true? How many think about that? I was thinking about this the other day when I was reading this, you know, and I was thinking about this happiness thing. I was thinking, you know, when I first got our house we're living in now, I'm like, God, thank you for our house. We'll never need another house. It'll always be big enough for us. And now it's a nice size house, but we're in there, and I'm thinking all the time, well, I wish I could rebuild this house differently. I would make it more space, more pliable to our life, have a more open space. Instead of all these rooms chopping up the space. I mean, we're never happy. You know what I'm saying? It only lasts. We're never happy. You know what? How many know talk? You move into a house, and a couple years later, you're like, I'm ready to move again. We're never happy. We get a car, and the next thing we know, we're looking at the next year's car. We get the job promotion. Next thing we know, we're looking for the next promotion. We get a raise, and then we're looking for the next raise. We get a spouse, and then we're looking for the, you know what I'm saying, all right. And just like the world tells us, you get it, and it doesn't make you happy. You realize I was better off until spouse. I mean, the world tells you that everything's going to make you happy. And let me tell you this, it'll never make you happy. It's the one thing we realize through Christianity, we know that the world's things can never, ever make us happy. Why is it that having more money and fame will make you happy, right? It seems to work for Hollywood, doesn't it? I mean, those guys are never having problems. I mean, they have all the money in the world, and they're happy, aren't they? I mean, the most miserable people we know, these people who have all the money and all the fame. So that proves it right there that money doesn't buy happiness, and job and fame doesn't buy happiness. As much as we love our spouse still doesn't bring us happiness to the fullest extent. Happiness can only come through one way. Happiness can only come through one way, and it does not come through circumstances or position. Jesus, what was he trying to teach us here? That happiness is not about things. It's not about things. But our God is happy. Happiness is not about things or possessions. 1 Timothy 1:11. Look what the scripture says about God. That confirms the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. This word blessed is the same word that goes back to the original meaning that was used in the same blessed that's used in the Beatitudes. The blessed are those, or blessed. Some say blessed, some say blessed. They're both right, in case you wanted to know. It's like tomato and tomato. Okay, they're both right. It's all right. Blessed God. It means what? Happy God. That's what it translates. He's a happy God. Timothy said he's a happy God, that we have a happy God, and that happiness comes through him. We serve a happy God. So if you want to learn to be happy, you got to learn to get close to the Lord, because he is happiness. He is a happy God. He will bring happiness to you. You know, with Solomon, King David's son Solomon, who was listed as the wisest man in the world, Scripture says that when he was petitioning God, that God said to Solomon, because your heart is so pure before me, you ask me for anything in the world, and I'll grant it to you. And so Solomon asked him for wisdom. He didn't ask him for money, didn't ask him for wealth, didn't ask him for anything material-wise. The only thing he asked the Lord for was wisdom. And it says that it pleased the Lord so much that he said, Solomon, I'm going to give you the most wisdom you've ever had in your life. But besides that wisdom, he says this, I'm going to give you all these other things. I'm going to give you to make you the most wealthiest man in the world. And Solomon became so wealthy, he'd have made Oprah seem like she was on welfare. I'm serious. They did a study on Solomon's house. And his house, in today's market, you know what his house would have went for to build it? Anyone have a guess? Try three, what would you say? Million? No. $3 billion home. Think, can you comprehend that? His house would have cost billions, not 30 million, not 300 million, $3 billion, $3 billion to build. It says that everything he had was solid gold. He couldn't even brush his teeth without a solid gold toothbrush. I mean, this guy was loaded. And the wives, you think wives bring you happiness? He had all the wives he wanted. It says that he had a lot of wives. He had a lot of wives. He's the only one who could afford that many wives. And he could afford it. But Solomon, at the end of his life, he said, all these things brought me no happiness. They were empty. I mean, he said, they brought me nothing. But happiness came through the wisdom of knowing who God is. That's your happiness life. So we got to realize that happiness comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Happiness is a spiritual need. Do you realize that? Happiness really is a spiritual need. And so we can never meet a spiritual need physically. A physical thing will never meet a spiritual need. How do you meet a spiritual need? The spiritual answer. That spiritual answer is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through a personal relationship with him. This is what Jesus was saying on the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, you think being happy is all about having it together, but it's not. Really? These people are happy. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the peacemakers who are going through war. Happy are those who are poor in the spirit. I mean, he's just talking about all these things that just blow us out of the water. He said, these people are happy. Why? Because it was about what was going on the inside, not what was happening on the outside. And when you put your happiness about what happens on the outside, you're going to live your life up and down. You're going to be happy one day, and then you're going to be miserable the next 2 weeks. And then you're going to be happy for the next month, and then the next 3 months you're going to be miserable. Because the circumstances around us, they change daily. They change weekly. And we're going to have things in and out. There's going to be times we have a good job and good money. There's going to be times we're going to be laid off and be struggling. There's going to be times when we go through loss of family members. There's going to be times we have a great relationship. There's going to be times we go through those who reject us and hurt us. It's going to be times when we have it all together. It's going to be times when we have our family close to us and times our family's far apart. Things are going to happen. Your circumstances are going to change. But happiness is not based on our circumstances. Learning to live happy is about basing upon the inner spirit of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So the Beatitudes are going to teach you these principles. How do I learn to be happy no matter what I go through in my life? How do I learn to unlock the key to happiness? Jesus taught it. The most famous sermon, we're going to dive into it in a series. It's a great thing, which brings us to our last point. Where does happiness come from? It comes from God. Happiness comes from God. Plain and simple, the happiness comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can't get any easier to say, more easy to explain. Just say it simply this way. When your friends ask you why you're happy, you should be able to tell them, it's because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Why are you going through your loss differently than when somebody else goes through the loss? Why do you mourn differently than people who mourn? Because I have someone who can help me through this time. My happiness is not based upon my outward circumstances. My happiness is based upon a personal relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing. It will change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change the way you deal with circumstances in your life. It'll change the way you view the world. It'll change the way you view money. It'll change the way you view homes. It'll change the way you view everyone around you. When you learn to say, you know what, happiness is not, they don't make me happy. My happiness comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. We see this, a great example was in the Jewish culture in Jesus' day. The Jewish culture in Jesus' day was basically broken up into four different cultures. So we had the Essenes, the Zeolites, and the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. You've heard maybe some of these names in the scripture, and I didn't put them on the overhead because this is really not what's important. I just want to show you the meaning behind these. And the Essenes people were people who, in the Jewish culture, they believed in going out of the way. They went out. They went out, and they believed in separating themselves from the world. And so they kind of lived in, and they would take the people who believed just like them, and they would go and live in the wilderness by themselves, get away, because everybody else was bad people. Everybody else, they were going to, you know, they were going to bring their sin upon us. And so we had to get away from everybody, live a holy life, separate away. So they went away. The Zeolites in the Jewish culture, they were against the government. They were always going out against things, going out against the government. We want to be in charge. We want to be in political control. We want control of things. We want to do this our way. Power brings me happiness. That I'm going to get happiness if I can get control, get power. It was the Sadducees who were sad, you see, because of this. I'm sorry. I had to throw it out there. You know what I'm talking about. The Sadducees, they were people who went ahead. They were going ahead because they only live for today. Their thought was there is no afterlife. There is no kingdom of heaven coming. It's right now. So you better get all you can get now. Get all the possessions you can get now. Have all the pleasure you can have now. do all the partying you can do now. Do everything you can do right now because you live for the day. Because tomorrow, nothing's going to happen. When you die, you're dead. That's it. You're done. So they were always living to go ahead. The Pharisees were always looking to go back. Well, we can't do it that way. We can't sing music that way. We got to go back and do it the way we did it 2,000 years ago. I mean, the Pharisees were very much people who wanted to go back to tradition. Never wanted to move forward. They wanted to hold over to, we got to dress the way they dressed back 2,000 years ago. We got to do the same music they did 2,000 years ago. We got to walk the same way. We got to talk the same way. We got to do everything exactly. And never wanted to move forward in their relationship with God. It was always about the past. If you think about it, some went ahead. Some went backwards. Some reached out. Some went against. And none of that brought happiness to them. They missed the Savior. Why? Because what they realize, and we know this now to be true, is that happiness is not about power. It's not about going back to the way you used to do it. It's not about going out ahead. It's not going out to the side. Happiness only comes through when you go this way. You go up. So they failed to go up in their relationship with God. They thought it was all going to be something obtainable in a different way. They failed to go up in a relationship with God. Jesus came that you and I could have a relationship with him and he could show us happiness. He's a happy God. And he wants us to understand that vertical relationship that brings happiness. If you're here today and you've never been in church very much in your life, or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm here, and man, you're talking to me today. Man, I haven't been happy in a long time. I just tell you very plain and simple, as someone who's been in your shoes, who's walked in your shoes, I can tell you that the only way you'll ever be happy is when you give your life totally to Jesus Christ. I can tell you when I made that decision, it changed my life. It changed my life. I was so unhappy in my life, trying to do my own thing, determined I would never preach. I was never going to be a pastor. I was never going to preach. Everybody's, you're God. I'd go to service and they'd be telling me, come here, young man. God says to you, you're going to. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. Crazy, man. I ain't never going to do those things. People aren't happy. I ain't going to be walking my life unhappy. You ever seen the preachers I've been around? They're not happy people. They're always screaming at you. They're not happy. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to do my thing. What makes me happy? None of it brought happiness. Until the time I pulled my car over the side of the road, I said, God, I know I'm never going to be happy until I totally give you my life. And in that car, I just bowed my head and said, God, I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of trying to find happiness in other things. I'm going to totally give you my life, totally give you everything I am. My life changed from that day on. I began to get favor of the Lord. Things began to happen in my life. I began to get happiness in things that I didn't have happiness before in. I mean, the Lord has blessed me beyond measure. I don't have enough time to speak about all the blessings that God has given to me. But it's not those things that bring me happiness. It's the happiness I have through my relationship with Jesus Christ. Today you're here, and I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads where you're at. He said, Pastor, you're here today, and you're talking right at me, because this is where I'm at. My life is so unhappy. For my life, I've tried to find happiness, so I just cannot get it to sustain in my life. And I realize as you're talking right now that, first of all, I just need to give Jesus Christ my life. I need to ask him to be Lord and Savior of my life. I'm tired of running from him. Maybe you're like me, maybe you ran from him for a long time. Or maybe you're here today, so I had never ran from God, but I'm just now realizing that I need him, and I'm never going to be happy unless I give my life fully to the Lord. Today, no one's looking around, and I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But just with me looking today, can you just raise your hand if you say, today, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision to give my life to Christ. Anybody here today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? I'm ready today to give my life totally to Christ. Anybody else want to join these people today? One last chance. I'm going to ask you one more time today. You say, I'm ready to make that decision. Raise your hand at me. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm tired of running. I'm ready to receive the happiness of my life. I'm tired of all this junk going on, man. I'm ready to give God my full life. And no one's looking at me. Can you raise your hand at me and let me see it? Anybody else here today? Thank you. It's all, that's what, with our heads bowed, let's all say this prayer. Let's repeat it after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace and mercy. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I confess that you are the Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer today and you meant it. We say, welcome to family of God. Yeah. You prayed that prayer today. Before you leave, when you go back to the very back at our information center, we have a special packet back there that has a Bible and some other things in it. It tells you what next step you can do to help you along this Christian journey. Today is just a beginning. It's not the ending. It's the beginning of a new journey, of a new covenant you can walk in today. But it's about growing in this covenant. It's about growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we want to invite you to stop by and grab those things before you leave. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in happiness, man. I'm ready to walk in God's happiness. Anyone here today, you ready to walk in God's happiness for your life? I mean, I just tell you, we got a good reputation in town of being a friendly church. People who come in, one of the things we hear a lot is that, man, your church is so friendly. Everybody just talks and shakes my hand. And, you know, I know sometimes some might slip in and out and not get their hand shook. It doesn't happen very often, okay? There's always exceptions. But, man, for the most part, people tell us all the time, man, I just love this church. Everybody's just smiling at me. They're always happy. I mean, that's not just translating on Sunday mornings. It's translating everything we do throughout the week. We walk in our job. When you open your job tomorrow and you walk in, people should look at you and say, there's something different about that person. They have such a happy spirit. If you walk in, you're going to be a grouch tomorrow at work. You need to find a place of prayer and say, God, change my spirit. Because God has never called you to walk around grouchy. God's never called you to walk around in a bad mood. It happens to all of us. Yeah, we all have our days, but we got to snap out of it. Say, God, you know what? You're a happy God. And you've placed that happy spirit in my life, and I want to rejoice in that. I want to receive that place. That happiness is not about my circumstances. Happiness is about a relationship with you, my security in you, of knowing that, Father, you have forgiven my sins, and you've placed me as a son and daughter of the King. That's where our happiness is going to come from today. And so I just challenge you today. Let's lift our hands one more time to him. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're the God who gives us happiness. God, you're the God who brings happiness and releases happiness over your people. Father, I'm praying that through this series, as we get into studying the most famous sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, you spoke, that came and just totally changed, radical, Lord, the way people thought about Christianity, what you were saying the kingdom of God's about. It's not about position. It's not about possession. It's about our purpose in you. It's about a relationship in you. God, that you set us free from religious cursing. You set us free from the cursing and the law that we can never fulfill. But God, you said there's a new sheriff in town. And God, you're bringing happiness. You're bringing freedom. You're bringing blessing. And God, I pray that our whole world is rocked. That our whole view, God, of what it means to be happy begins to be changed. And God, we can walk around a happy people. That God, where we go and it's our workplace, that God, it just comes out of us. That people look at us and say, man, there's something about them that's different. There's a different spirit. There's a happy spirit that comes from their home. That comes from their marriage. That comes from their life. That comes from their talk. That comes from the way they act, how they treat people. God, there's a different thing coming. God, I pray right now, God, you give me a release, even now, God, a spirit of happiness over your people. God, I come against any spirit, Lord, of depression, any spirit, God, that brings a sad spirit to us, God, and I pray that you can begin to release happiness once again. God, your word says that, Lord, that weeping may last for the night, God, but that rejoicing and joy comes in the morning. And God, I speak morning time over Destiny Church. I speak an end to the tough season. I speak an end, Lord, to the famine. And God, I'm speaking a new season, God. There's a new season of happiness, a new season of blessing coming to your people. God, people are going to realize their calling once again. They're going to renew in a relationship in you once again. There's a new place they're going to walk in happiness, a new joy they found in you, God, a new joy in a relationship with you. And Father, we thank you, God, that spirit is being released over us right now. In Jesus' name, we speak it out. Release that spirit in our life. And we say, release that spirit in our life. We say, release that spirit in our life, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We say together, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you today. If you need directions to a home group, you can grab those and get those directions tonight. Be safe tonight. Have a good time. And go Packers, right? Amen.